Hello, and welcome to the Book for the Month podcast, the Shrewsbury High School Radio Book Club for young adults who enjoy reading and talking about books. Our show is a production of Audio Journal in Worcester, Massachusetts. This program is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. Views expressed in this program do not reflect the opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or its volunteer readers. Hi, everyone. We are back. There are a lot of new people here today, so I would like to welcome everyone. We can just go around in a circle.
Hi, I'm Ayuko.
I'm Asmi.
I'm Tegan.
Hi, I'm Charlotte.
Hi, I'm Nishta.
Hi, I'm Marilena.
Hi, I'm Lucy.
Perfect. And my name is Sri Gori. I'm your host. All right, if you guys are joining us for the first time, welcome. And if you're one of our regular members, welcome back. Our theme for this month was dystopia. And we've all, of course, read different books. So I just wanted to start off by maybe having us all go around and say what book we read, name and author. I read Animal Farm by George Orwell. It's a classic. I thought it would be pretty good for this show.
So earlier in Lit, we actually read Brave New World, which I thought was just a great pick for this month. And I'll also be talking a little bit about The Hunger Games, Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
I read The Pedestrian by Ray Bradbury.
I read Sunrise on the Reaping by Suzanne Collins.
I also read The Hunger Games series by Suzanne Collins.
I read Divergent.
I read One Dark Window by Rachel Gilling.
I read Shatter Me by Taharif Mafi. I don't think I said that right.
Yes, great series. Awesome. So I envision a lot of Hunger Games discussion. To start off, what do you guys think makes dystopia like a good thing to read about? Like, what makes these books interesting to you?
I think it has to do with the fact that our world could become like how the dystopia is, but it isn't, and it shows like differences.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I feel like it's kind of escapist, but it also shows like, yeah, parallels between what could happen. I really think a lot of good dystopian authors, like Ray Bradbury, for example, he takes scenarios that are possible, but also makes them fantastical. I think also on a side note, he really predicted the future. He wrote these books in maybe like the 1950s. And then when you look back now in like 2026, there's a lot of things that he wrote about that actually came true. Did you guys like what you read? Would you recommend it to any of our readers?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you want to expand? Was there like anything specific you liked?
I really liked like in the Shatter Me, because it's a series. I really liked how like it sort of like kept me like interested as I was going on. I think last time my New Year's resolution was to finish the series, so that was. I know it's a fun book.
Glad to see progress in real time. Do you guys want to talk about The Hunger Games? Because there was quite a few of us that mentioned they had read that.
I think The Hunger Games is definitely a really good dystopian series. It can get a little sad for some books, so be prepared with tissues. You will need them, but it's really good. Sorry, sore throat. And I definitely do recommend.
That's fair. Okay, so I have, full disclosure, not read Sunrise on the Reaping. I did read Songbirds of Snakes. What do you think, like, do you feel like you relate to the characters in dystopian books? And do you think that the author specifically writes characters in a way that make them relatable or not relatable?
Kind of on this note, I noticed in the book I came here to discuss, but since someone else has mentioned the Shatter Me series, whenever there's a character in that series named Kenji, and what I love about him he is funny, and we go through so much dark subject matter in dystopians, and I feel like sometimes when it's all doom and gloom, it's not as engaging, but when you have a funny character who is willing to crack jokes even in the darkest moments, like, you want to talk about relatable characters, that is exactly what I do in bad situations. I'm constantly trying to joke all the time, trying to cheer people up, and I feel like those characters just make it, and they make me want to keep reading, because I think they deserve their happy endings most of all.
Yeah. Sort of on that subject, I feel like Kenji is also relatable because, like, his life isn't, like, all happiness and rainbows. Like, even though, like, he maintains, like a really happy mindset like throughout all of it. And I think like that's sort of important for like at least one of the characters in like that sort of dark world that they're living in.
For those that don't know, do you guys want to talk about what is the dystopia in Shattering, sort of what the situation is like for them?
Sure. It's sort of like they are living in a world that's like run by the, I forget, it's been a little bit, establishment.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And and they're like they control like everybody that lives in like the entire world, and they control like food rations for them, and they tell them where they can work and how they can work, and then they can like they're very like tyrannical rulers over their people. So they have, and like the book is basically about this group of people that tries to rise against them.
Another note, like for the like main idea of Shatter Me, it's basically the main character has like this power where no one can touch her, but you know, like she's basically in an asylum for like basically, I don't remember the exact number of days, and that's basically how the book starts off, and they're trying to take over like the government and all.
Yeah, and this sounds pretty similar to Hunger Games, so I do want to give those people a chance as well to jump in. What do you guys think about Katniss and like PETA? Do you see yourselves in them at all? Do you think that there's a reason for that?
So I think I can see what Katniss did throughout the entire books and movies as reasonable. I see like all of that could happen, and I honestly have no idea what to say on this subject.
There.
Kind of to talk about the Hunger Games and specifically Katniss, something I saw circulating on BookTok that I think is a really interesting point is Katniss is kind of an unreliable narrator. She sees herself as kind of like small and weak and unprepared. But the funny thing is, if you look at it from everyone who's selected in the other districts, she scored an 11. She's not a career. And she was deadly with and without a bow and arrow, which she was surprisingly skilled at. She just had so many skills, and it was almost like she was made to do this, even though she wasn't a career. And I feel like it's just so interesting when you add kind of that element of an unreliable narrator and you kind of consider it from everyone else's perspective.
Wait, now that you say that, that brings up a really good point. I think in a lot of other books, like Fahrenheit 451, the main character is like an ordinary man, and they just seem like, you know, your everyday kind of person. There's not anything special to them, but then they're put in this extraordinary circumstance and you start to see the true nature of what they're capable of. And I just think that's really like an interesting thing that the author does.
I feel like that's sort of like showing that like people can like, who think that they're ordinary or like ordinary people in general can like rise above what society sets as their standards, and they can do something great for the world.
I feel like, speaking of Ray Bradbury, I feel like a lot of his books kind of make you question, I don't know, I feel like with dystopias, people kind of separate themselves from that world and almost think like, oh, that could never happen. But Ray Bradbury does a really good job of making the main characters so relatable that you think like, oh yeah, like I could kind of be in that situation. So I think that's really special.
Yeah, I think that like thinking about all of this, I think dystopian novels in some way give us hope, because we see that like these situations could happen to people, or like we see ourselves in the characters. So I feel like even though they can be doom and gloom, there is also a greater purpose maybe for why they were created.
Going back to the idea that it's like normal people overcoming hard situations, I read this book called Aisle 9 by Ian X. Cho. And it's this guy, and he just loses his memory. And then there's a whole, it starts out and you learn that, like monsters from another dimension have kind of like invaded the world. And then there's this organization. I forgot what it was called, but, they like have this app that everyone uses, and it kind of controls people's lives. And he loses memory, doesn't know anything, works at this supermarket. And he's trying to figure out a way to, first of all, stop monsters and stop the organization. So I found. He loses his memory. He has no idea what's going on and still manages to basically save everyone. So,
wow, that sounds like a really interesting book. Have to read it. Did you guys, I mean, I'm just curious because I've never read Sunrise on the Reaping. Also, have not read that book. We'll check it out. How would you guys sort of describe it to somebody or like someone that knows nothing about the story and maybe how it relates to dystopia?
Well, it relates to dystopia as it takes place in the same world as the Hunger Games. And this is before the rebellion happens that occurs throughout the main trilogy. And it focuses on one of the mentor of Katniss and Peeta, Haymitch Abernathy. And I would say this is the saddest book that I've read. Haymitch goes through many, many traumas through this book, but it really showcases what the government can do and hide. I'm not going to say more on that to not spoil the book, but it definitely shows that the government can hide what they do.
Ominous, but interesting.
On that topic, I would just like to add, I am actually still on The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. I have not gotten to Sunrise on the Reaping yet, but just in the world of The Hunger Games, I think it's interesting to see how the characters really feel like their world is a normal world. And looking on their world from the outside, we think that, wow, that's so unusual, that's so weird, how could that ever be true? But if people in another world, like in The Hunger Games, where they're in a situation where the people are forced to participate in these Hunger Games by the government, how they might look at our world and think, wow, that's really weird and unusual, and that could never be us.
That's a really good point. And I think also another interesting thing, like, obviously a lot of dystopian novels are fictional worlds, but even if you go back and look at, like, historical novels and you look at those worlds, they feel similarly strange to us, like, wow, that's the world. We're reading Pride and Prejudice right now in English, and the fact that they would go to parties all day, every day, plan for parties, like, that seems very, very different from what we're used to now. And the fact that that was acceptable and that was the mentality, it's just really interesting to see how the idea of like an ideal society changes over time. And that's really what they're trying to achieve, right? The idea of utopia. How would you guys feel if you had to live in like the world of the books that you read? Do you think you'd be able to do it?
I don't think that I'd live through it. Like, I don't think I'd be able to be one of the like people that make it, but I think it'd be interesting to live in the worlds but like also on like the topic of like history and dystopian books, I can like almost see like, I feel like in the Hunger Games, they almost like were looking at history like in the process of making it. Because in history, like, as people win wars, they, like, typically rise and then the others fall. And in the Hunger Games, there's, like, the giant, I can't remember, it's been a little bit, but there's, like, the, like, people who watch the Hunger Games, and then there's the people who they force to participate in them, and that's, like, the winners of war and the losers of it.
Yeah, that concept definitely does show up in the Hunger Games. The people who are watching it are the people from the capital, and the entire thing is based off of the fact that the rebels lost the war, the districts lost, and then they were forced to participate. So that is definitely a true concept in there.
Wait, that's like such a good point. My mind is like blown. Wow. Yeah, I was gonna say, I know some dystopian novels are actually based on like real events. I read Animal Farm, as I said, by George Orwell, and it's supposed to be a metaphor. This is not spoilers, but it's supposed to be a metaphor for the Russian Revolution, where the leader, I guess, of the farm, it's a pig called Napoleon, and he's supposed to be like Stalin, I want to say, in Russia. And then the other animals correspond to other real life people. But it's interesting also just like even without that context, when you read a dystopian novel, I feel like you're still able to take away a lot from the book. For example, like when I was reading my book, essentially a quick rundown of the book, all these animals are, you know, in a farm and they feel like they're enslaved by the owner. So they have to like give up milk, give up eggs, give up their privacy, really. And these are anthropomorphic animals, so they are talking. There's a bit of like magical realism here. But anyways, they overthrow their like farm owner and they think that they'll be free and that they'll live happily. But the pigs end up sort of rising to be leaders and they end up being a new oppressive government, I guess. And really, the old, the new bosses, if you call the leaders that, the pigs that become like the farm owners. So they didn't never really escape their oppression. But I would just really think that's really interesting when we look at the course of history as well at different countries, after wars. But yeah, I just think that it's really cool when dystopian novels can touch on like aspects of reality.
And to add on to that, I just think it's interesting how dystopian books really throw our sense of normalcy and how it shows that things that we might consider normal or realistic are really relative to what we're used to.
I mean, that's such a good point. I just wanted to add real quick. I read this book where people have to pay for their speech. So if they have a certain amount of money, that's what they can use to say like whatever they want to say. And in a way that kind of reminds me of censorship in the sense like you're not able to express yourself in the way you want to because of arbitrary rules like put on you from society or like whoever else. So yeah, it's a really good point.
Something I just wanted to kind of add when you're talking about Animal Farm is this idea that just because you defeat the big bad doesn't mean that there's not another bad entity or oppressor that is coming to take their place. And if you guys have read The Hunger Games, you might kind of know what I'm talking about here. When even when you think you defeat the person you're supposed to, you have to be really careful because these systems can kind of recreate themselves. And I just think it's really interesting how they kind of show the nuance of it. There's not just good and bad. Just because you defeat the bad doesn't mean that there won't be another.
Yes. I know that's 100% it. Yeah. I wanted to go back to Tegan because she mentioned book that no one else had. Do you want to tell us more about, like, without spoilers, of course, but how sort of the exposition, maybe, like, the book made you feel towards the end?
I found it was, like, one of the best books I've ever read, actually. It was, like, really good. It had a lot of good plot points. It's just this guy, teenager, who works at a store and he just wakes up one day and goes to work and realizes he doesn't know what the heck's going on. Like, he knew one thing and then the next second he didn't. And there's these portals that are opening up all over the world. And monsters just like come out of them and attack people. And then there's this like organization that has this app. And if you like report monsters, you get like points and stuff and coupons basically. And they deal with the monsters, but they don't really. And there's also these people that are called the, like, unaffected or something, and they kind of go crazy when dealing with them. But the way that the book is written is really good. It's called Isle 9. And then at the end, there's kind of, like, these four, like, spirit things that he has to defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, like, a girlfriend that's not really his girlfriend. It's, like, really complicated, but it is a very good dystopian-ish book. It's, like, probably less dystopian than, like, The Hunger Games or whatever, but it's really good. It's a great read. I would highly recommend it.
I think, like, the surprise aspect really, like, gets you. And I was just, like, sort of thinking after what you were saying, I think a lot of dystopian novels, like, really make you feel, like, I'd imagine if I was, like, I don't know, when you were reading in the beginning, you probably felt disoriented, like, the character who, you know, woke up one day and found the world to be something else.
Because I think the character doesn't know anything about themselves, so you don't know anything about the character.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was also just thinking, like, between The Hunger Games, Shatter Me, Animal Farm, all Divergent even, I just have realized there's a lot of gaslighting that happens in this book, in these books. So I'm just kind of curious, like, how does that make you feel? I mean, for me, it makes me really mad when, like, some, I don't know, just like being gaslit and feeling like you know something, but someone, even if they're wrong, like, confidently states that you have no idea. I feel like that really happens a lot in these books.
Like, especially in a lot of, you know, dystopian books, whoever's in charge kind of spreads lies, and then people are just kind of atoned to, like, just accepting it. And there's a select amount of people who are always like, guys, this is wrong. Like, we should not be doing this. And then they are always trying to rise up against. But you never really understand, like, how these people can just, like, blindly believe, because you can see as a reader clearly that they're wrong. But these people have no idea what's going on, because they're just living their lives. So they just can blindly believe, and you're just kind of standing there like, what are they doing?
I read a book recently that's sort of like that, because in the book Legend by Mary Lou, right? Yeah. Basically the society has like this test that you take when you're 10. And if you pass it, you're like, depending on your score for the test, you're put up in society, or you're like in the poor of society. And if you fail it, you get kicked out or like killed in that society. It's sort of like they're trying to like make a perfect society with no flaws in their people. And then they have like two perspectives in that book. And one of the perspectives is from, one of the kids that got a really high score in the society. And the other one is from a perspective of a kid who failed the test, but somehow survived, almost getting killed by the government. And is really interesting. And, on like the point of it gets really, the girl who got a really high score can get sort of infuriating, because she's always like, I need to do this good thing for the government. And you can see as a reader that it's not a good thing.
Go for it.
Sorry, to bring it back to the idea of gaslighting in dystopian novels. No, that was good. That was good. I think it's interesting to see how far governments will take it, and how, this reminds me of a quote in Wicked. I know. Where, the wizard talks about how the truth isn't always true. It's just something that everyone agrees upon.
Okay, so this might be off for dystopian books, but it kind of reminds me of like this saying that the like truth story or like wins and whatever is told by like whatever group wins. Like, the truth isn't always the truth. It's just the perspective of it.
Also on that, I feel like good and evil are like sort of, they're like, they're not really like real, like they're concepts, but they're not, I don't know how to word this. Okay. So evil and good are sort of like individualized for what we perceive them to be, because in the dystopian worlds, the like majority of the world would see the government as like a good thing. And then there's that one person who sees it as a horrible thing, or learns to see it as a horrible thing. And in that world, it's seen as a good thing. But to you, because you live in like this world, you're like, that's not right. So it's like entirely a different perspective depending on how you're like living. So good and evil are like individualized by perspective.
I watched a movie that was really similar to this. If you've heard of it, it's called The Uglies. And it was basically a society where at 16, everyone has to get like plastic surgery to make them look, in what their mind was, pretty. And then they would get to go and live in this like beautiful city. And like everyone would be insanely happy. Everyone was kind. And that was them trying to create a utopia. And so the main character, she goes to escape that. But like, you have to kind of watch the movie to understand, but she's going after her friend who escaped. And she learns that it's not what it seems, that the society is completely different. And not to give any spoilers, not going to go any further on that, but like, it does show like that your perspective of good and bad just completely depends on where you're viewing the situation from.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that idea, especially like how you grow up and kind of like what culture you live in your country, with your family. That definitely kind of determines how you view the world. And sometimes it can be really difficult to kind of break that conditioning or break kind of these cycles and kind of how you've always thought about something. And that's why I'm kind of really happy that we live in a society where we can kind of talk about our ideas. And I love people who are free to change their mind, because I know how difficult it is when something is normalized to you. Like, you know, obviously a more extreme case in all of these books. But yeah, I think it's really interesting how where you grow up can really influence you until you kind of go out in the world, and then you're free to change your mind and kind of be truer to yourself.
Yeah, I really like that. I think that at the beginning of a lot of these books, like Fahrenheit 451 with Guy Montag, or even Katniss Everdeen, in the beginning, they're so used to, like, no matter how bad, like, their world is for them, they're so used to it, and trying to break out of that cycle causes a lot of turmoil for them, whether it's emotional, they're in physical danger. I think all of that is honestly just a good point for us, like, because we are more freely able to, like, challenge what we believe in, or, like, our thoughts, our opinions, things like that. I think dystopias are a really good way to kind of make us see the reality of our situation, and maybe also be more willing, open-minded to seeing like other perspectives.
I feel like it also like allows you to realize that with different like generations and how they're like raised and growing up, you can like have more empathy towards how they're seeing the world and how like they can try to change, and they can with like, but it takes more effort to change their perspective when they grew up like that, with which you can really see in dystopians.
Also like in dystopian books, I mean, I feel like it just goes to show how like, even though for the main characters, all the stuff that we think is like insane or like very dystopic, if that's a word. wait, what was he saying? It's like very normalized for them, but for us, like as like a bystander of the book, we think it's very insane. We're like, obviously they should like stand up for the government or stuff, but if we were in that position, I feel like it wouldn't always be the same.
So you're saying like it's hard for them to realize like whatever they're thinking is blind, but us as like the outsiders have a better perspective?
Yeah.
And the idea of, to go back to the idea of trying to create a utopia, I think it's interesting to see in dystopian books how governments will use censorship to create a utopia. Like, this reminds me of a book I read last year called The Giver by Lois Lowry, where the government really tries to censor everything, even like colors, and rid people out of the society who they don't deem fit enough to live there, and how it often ends up poorly for them at the end of the book.
Yeah, I feel like that's really ironic. When they're trying to strive for perfection, they ended up like having a lot of imperfection and destruction, honestly.
I think the interesting thing about a lot of dystopians is that everyone wants to be the good guy and everyone wants to be the hero, but the truth of it is, it does require sacrifice. If you've ever read dystopian, you know, it oftentimes does not end well, or at least go well, for the person who is rebelling. I mean, sometimes they're shunned by their friends or their partners or everyone who kind of believes in everything that the government is telling them to believe. And I think that's definitely something to think about in the real world too. If you want to rebel against something, it requires a sacrifice and requires being a little unpopular, but if it's what's right, it's probably something you should do, even though it can be very difficult.
Yes. Honestly, I can't really think of any other better ending point than that, so just keep that in mind. Yeah, I think that's all we have for you guys for this episode, so we will see you next month.
The Book for the Month podcast has been a production of Audio Journal. Our program has been archived and can be easily accessed by visiting the Audio Journal website, www.audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or Android. Thank you for listening, and if you have any suggestions for our book club, please let us know by sending a message to info@audiojournal.org. Happy reading, everyone! Join us next month on Audio Journal.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.